The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Because there are more better quarterbacks.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you as we continue rolling live from Radio Row in Phoenix, heading up to Super Bowl 57. Thank you to Sean Merriman. We'll talk with Dick Vermeil coming up later on this hour. Aaron Taylor, we're scheduled to talk with Kurt Warner at noon and continue breaking down this Super Bowl matchup. Right now, our analytics expert from NFL Network joining us here in the Zone. It is Cynthia Freeland on this Wednesday. Cynthia, how are you?
I'm great. I'm about getting ready to head to Phoenix. I'll be there tomorrow. You tell Kurt to warm up the city for me.
I will absolutely do that, and we'll see you around Radio Row tomorrow as you'll be down here. But looking forward to our conversation right now. Do you think this is the matchup of the best two teams in the NFL that we got on Sunday?
I mean, I think we did. I think, like, when it was all said and done, I think we ended up getting the best two teams. Obviously, you know, look, like, to me, the AFC in general is stronger top to bottom. So I think we've seen kind of the best run going through it. It's going to be hard, to be honest with you. It's kind of hard for me to not say, like, maybe the Bengals and the Chiefs was the best matchup. But, you know, that's kind of like, you know, it's obviously impossible. But of the possible permutations and combinations, I think we got the right one.
Last week when we talked to you, I asked you how the Chiefs get it done against the Bengals, and you said the pressure, the efficiency of the pressure that they put on Joe Burrow. Pressuring the quarterback is going to be a big deal on Sunday. Who can do it? Who can't do it? Both of these offensive lines are pretty good. The Eagles get a lot of credit as being maybe the best offensive line in football. Certainly the Chiefs are good. Their strength coming from the interior. What do you think Spags can do, will do, and how likely is it that the Chiefs are able to put some pressure on Jalen Hurts with that really good offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to look a little different because obviously Jalen Hurts' mobility, and that is the best O-line in football. Now, I will say that some quarterbacks like Patrick don't necessarily need the best one, so sometimes there's, you know, surplus value in that, but Jalen Hurts looks a little different, obviously, than a lot of quarterbacks we've seen from the fact that, like, we haven't seen him actually go back to using quarterback scramble since he hurt his shoulder. So it's going to look a little different, right? So, meaning, I think in this one, it is the Super Bowl. They will pull out all the stops. I would imagine a more mobile Jalen Hurts, more like we saw at the beginning of the season when he was averaging 54.3 rushing yards per game, as opposed to what we've seen in the past month or so, where it's been sub-40.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's and also, like, one of the things that we noted a couple of weeks ago when just talking about different matchups is, you know, Patrick Mahomes' ability to avoid sacks and even with an injured ankle last week and against the Jags as well, that, you know, the pressures to sacks, so the percentage of pressures that turn into a sack out of 40 qualifying quarterbacks with, I think, 20% of pass attempts or whatever the certain number was at PFF. Patrick Mahomes is number one at about 10% of pressures that turn into sacks. Jalen Hurts is 27th out of 40th in that. Why do you think that? I think we have a pretty good idea of Mahomes, but Jalen Hurts, that I would guess that he would be ranked higher in terms of fewer pressures turning into sacks because of his ability to run and do some of those things. Why do you think his percentage is as high of, you know, one out of every five pressures results in a sack for Jalen Hurts?
Because when you watch his, there's a number of reasons, but one of the ones that stands out the most to me is that when you watch his running backs and when a team does decide to blitz, those running backs are not as good at picking up the blitz. Like, there is no, Jarek McKinnon maybe doesn't get enough credit, maybe, you know, okay, look, he gets a good amount of credit and they're in the Super Bowl, but he's a much better blitz picker-upper than you imagine. Whereas you watch Miles Sanders and some, and that's just not their strength. That's not how they make their money. That's not how they make their, you know, they're just not as good at that.
So do you think there will be a strategy from Spags to be blitzing a little bit more and try to get after Jalen Hurts?
If there's one thing I feel like it's set my clock to, it's Spags bringing the heat. Like, I think they're going to try to just Because obviously, like, look, like, it's not like Hugh Spagnuolo sitting there be like, you know what, I think all of a sudden our secondary is going to be different than it was all season long. You know, I think right. that, you know, they're going to say, like, look, Trent McDuffie looked amazing against, you know, Jamar Chase, but let's talk about, he's still a rookie, and there's a lot of different looks that you could see, and A.J. Brown's different. You know, he's very good, and they've got Devontae Smith. It's a different type of receiver. So, like, I think that they'll be like, let's bring the heat. That's what he's done since, you know, my good friend Matthias Kiunuka will tell you. You know, he played for the Giants in their Super Bowl winning teams with Spags at their defensive coordinator. Like, this is what they do. Spags will bring the heat.
Is this a better offense than the Bengals, including the injuries to the offensive line for Cincinnati? Not their healthiest, but what the Chiefs faced a couple of Sundays ago versus what they will face this Sunday. Is this an overall better offense than what the Chiefs went against in that Bengals matchup?
You know, kind of. I mean, their O-line is clearly much better, but mm-hmm. I just feel like, though, I have to give Joe Burrow his credit, because Joe Burrow's up there amongst the league. Like, that guy stands in the pocket, takes all the pressure, and still manages to make things happen. Like, he's up there. Like, that's like a special quarterback. And not to say that Jalen Hurts isn't special, but I just want to give Joe Burrow his credit where that credit is due. Because yeah. the reality is when you have Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase, it just feels a little different, even though Jalen Hurts has been awesome and, you know, we've seen A.J. Brown score 7 deep touchdowns. He only had 5 total his entire run with the Titans. Like, they clearly know how to, like, make this team go. I just think that the Eagles, like Joe Burrow, I remember game 1 this season, they were in that big hole against the Steelers, and you never felt like the Bengals were out of it. In fact, they came almost all the way back, right? But the Eagles, they haven't faced adversity in over a month, so I don't know what happens if the Chiefs come out to a, you know, 14-point or 2-score lead by some whatever, however you want to measure that. I think it's going to be a lot harder, because this team is not built to come from behind as easily as maybe the Chiefs or Joe Burrow. Like, a guy, like, you just someone who feels like that massive game changer in, like, 1 or 2 mm-hmm. plays, right? So, to me, it's not a, like, again, they haven't faced that adversity. You could take it 2 ways. Either they haven't shown us their best stuff yet, they're saving it, or they haven't figured out the tempo that's going to be required, that what happens when you get going from behind, and that tempo is important. Like, we saw it with the Bills. I don't mean tempo from, like, running tempo. I mean, like, mm-hmm. you know, figuring out what are our, like, 3 or 4 get back in rhythm plays that get us that those crucial first downs and a situation where we just don't get clobbered.
Cynthia Freeland is our guest. It's an interesting point, because, you know, the Eagles typically a team that's going to want to pass early to maybe take the lead and use that running and to really just ice the game, because they're very good at that. But also, you know, obviously really good at running even earlier in the game if they have to. And one of the things that I'm wondering is if, you know, the blitzes, which we talked about, and I think that's going to be the case, but putting those, you know, the cornerbacks for the Chiefs on an island of just saying, okay, Snead, you've got A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith or McDuffie, you've got, you know, whoever else is on this side, and we're going to man up and say, Jalen Hurts, can he beat us with his arm if we, you know, rush with discipline to keep him in the pocket, we stop the run, things like that, and make Jalen Hurts beat us, whether that be over the top or whatever it might be. As you watch Jalen Hurts since the injury, and even, you know, as recently as the 49ers game, is he playing the same? Does he look different? Is he more tentative? Is, you know, passing the ball as well as he was? Are you seeing a different, maybe a little, you know, compromised Jalen Hurts as opposed to when he was the leading candidate for the MVP?
I think it's a little more compromised. Here's the thing. Let's be honest. How many actual competitive, like, snaps have they taken since Jalen Hurts' injury? Because remember, week 18 against the Giants, like, you know, not first line of players, right? Like, it was, yeah. I didn't even know if I'd call them backups. It was like a mishmash of, like, people who were available for the Giants that weren't their starters. And then, because they've got a bunch of injuries too. And then you saw, and they had a break, you know, they had their first round bye. And then you saw them play the Giants again. And maybe that was competitive for 3 drives, maybe. And then they didn't have to show you anything. You could just run the football out. Okay. And then, you know, obviously that San Francisco game, I got to give Devontae Smith credit for, like, duping the sidelines and the league for that catch. But apart from that, he hasn't really been, I mean, the deep ball has not been there. But to be honest, he hasn't really needed the deep ball to be there, right? Yeah. He went 1 of 5 in that game on 20-plus, so deep receptions, 20-plus air yard passes. And that one was the Devontae Smith, like, asterisk, it wasn't a catch situation. So, sure, we can say that we haven't seen him. The deep ball has maybe changed or been compromised. But the reality is they haven't had to. So is that really the best play? Or just throwing out something and be like, hey, just – don't put it where the other guy can take it and see what happens. YOLO.
YOLO. And I will say, though, one of the things that have bothered the Chiefs with Steve Spagnuolo as a defensive coordinator has been bigger receivers. The, you know, Mike Williams, T. Higgins with the Bengals, and A.J. Brown when they played the Titans before. And that is certainly a concern if you're going to say, all right, we'll leave one of these guys out on an island with A.J. Brown. It's been the bigger receivers. Jamar Chase is a stud, and he's going to, you know, get his against really anybody. But it hasn't really been the guys like a Devontae Smith, who is, you know, exceptional at what he does. The concern I would have for the Chiefs' defense is, for whatever reason, those bigger-bodied receivers have always seemed to give the Chiefs secondary problems.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is that the way that defense is constructed is a bit more risk-taking. And so if you have a guy – so, what, you know, all of the rules are really, like, we call them 50-50 balls, right? But they're really not 50-50 balls, because many of the rules are, like, and by the way, it's the same when the Chiefs are on offense. But in general, what used to be 50-50 balls are more like, you know, 65-35 balls in favor of the offense. So if you're going to take risks and you're not going to, you know, you're going to change the way that the space works in the back end of the defense, you just have to acknowledge that that's a shortcoming, and you have to do something to make up for it. Like, you can't solve every problem, right? You can't, like, if you could solve every problem, then you would win every single game, right? But, like, the reality is you have to pick your poison. And I don't think that's, like, where they are focused on picking that poison, if, you know, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. And we'll see what that, I would guess that Spagnuolo's poison is not to let the running game get him. I would guess that it's, they're not going to run.
That's what I would guess too, because that run game is where they're, if the Eagles can get going running, it's going to be really, really hard because the controlling the clock is difficult. And look, the area that's weak for the Eagles defense, and I say weak, like weakest, not weak, like not a bad team, is going to be their linebackers and coverage, and also their safeties. And I'm going to say asterisk no Chauncey, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, because ultimately, if you know, he sometimes plays, you know, star, sometimes he plays safety. So other than him, those other two safeties are the ones that are stay away. Like, stay away from, you know, target those two, not him.
Visiting with Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network analytics expert. Offensively for the Chiefs against the Eagles, and, you know, on third down, they're more of a heavy zone team. I think they only run man-to-man on third down like 30% of the time, but they do like, you know, man-to-man throughout the game. And so zone, love the matchups with Travis Kelce just in general if they're playing zone, because I think Patrick Mahomes and Kelce have a really good idea of where the holes are in the zone, and even off script a little bit. But Travis Kelce has said before that, you know, their routes are not just a line on a paper, and Kurt Warner had a really good, and we're going to talk with him later on in the show, but he had a really good QB Confidential on YouTube about the Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes sort of freelancing a little bit and reading the defense while they're running the route, and both on the same page of like, well, that guy's there, now I'm going to adjust my route, and Mahomes seeing the same thing makes it more difficult in the zone. But one of the other things, Cynthia, is against man coverage and that pass rush from the Eagles. Andy Reid is one of the best screen game coaches in the NFL, and getting the ball to the running backs and Jerick McKinnon. Is McKinnon, in your mind, going to be do you expect him to be a bigger part of the game plan with screens, and whether it's check downs or just swing passes or finding ways to get McKinnon out in open field to try to alleviate some of the pass rush from the Eagles?
Yeah, absolutely. I think McKinnon is like the unsung hero, right? We have to pick X factors for this game, and I'm having a hard time picking between L'Jarius Sneed or McKinnon. Like, I'm going to be, like, for our show that's 8.5 hours long, we have to pick between the two, and I'm having a hard time just determining which one of those two, because, you know, X factors aren't like Chris Jones, got it, Patrick Mahomes. Oh, you know what? He's pretty important, but we're talking about, like, kind of low-key. Maybe it doesn't even show up in the stat sheet, like, how the McKinnon role will be handled. Kind of like how, like, you know, last game I would say, like, MVS was the low-key champ because we even saw, like, yards after the catch for him, which is not something that is typically always, you know, like, that hasn't been his game. So it's like, what's going to be the thing that steps up, right? Like, how does that work? And I think maybe it's probably pass pro or even just a little tiny chip. It sounds stupid, but a chip that can slow down Fletcher Cox, you know, just a half a second. Sounds very small, but those things really add up and make the largest difference. I mean, remember back to the Super Bowl with the Falcons and the Patriots, right? Like, what happened there? Well, you know, a running back didn't pick up the blitz, and it was pretty impactful for that entire game.
Yeah, and you know what, against the San Francisco 49ers, McKinnon was a big part of that game and how they used him and faking a chip and then chipping, but actually it was a screen for McKinnon to pick up a big gain. They, you know, hiding him in the backfield and having him sort of run across the line of scrimmage on a passing play looking like he's going to pick up a linebacker, but then he just runs right through the line of scrimmage and they throw him the ball. So that was attacking a really good pass rush. So I think Andy Reid will certainly have a game plan. Last couple for you, the schedule for the Eagles that they've played and the defenses or, you know, quarterbacks they've gone up against and just overall teams they've gone up against. Is that a factor at all in your mind of how good this Eagles team is? Are they inflated by the schedule or not?
They're definitely inflated by the schedule. I'm not taking anything away from them, but this is a hard sport, meaning it's not like if you would have put the Chiefs in that schedule, what would have happened? If you would have put the Bengals in that schedule, what would have happened, right? So you get to play your schedule. You don't, or you have to play your schedule. Depends on which side of the coin you're on. But the reality is they still won those games and they're still this healthy at this point. These are the things that are very hard to do in the league. So while I say their strength of schedule is nowhere near the like kind of gauntlet that the Chiefs or anyone else had to run, the reality is it doesn't really matter. You know, like it is what it is. So at the end of the day, you can say like, oh, this is a weaker schedule, et cetera, et cetera. Do I think they should be favored? I don't. But okay, that's just how it goes, right? So, you know, I take nothing away from what the Eagles have accomplished. I think they're a great team, and the flexibility that they showed throughout the entire season to keep getting free agents, to keep shuffling the deck. Heck, even if you look back, like, to get rid of Carson Wentz after signing into a big deal, like, all of those things kind of falling into place, it's a real testament to how they've put their team together and how the team is coached, and it's a really impressive run. To get here, it is a hard thing to do to win this many games with a single elimination tournament. It is very hard to do for any team because the best team in the league and the worst team in the league aren't as far apart as they seem. So the reality is it's take nothing away from them, but they haven't had to play and they haven't had to show anything in over a month. Nothing. None of those Travis Kelce hook and lateral in the middle of the game. They haven't had to pull out any of the fancy spots, which I don't know if it's a positive or negative, but to me it feels like if they get down, it's a negative because they haven't had to work their way through it with some creativity in a long time.
Okay, who wins? Last one for you real quick. Who wins and if you have a score or margin of victory?
28-26, Kansas City Chiefs.
28-26, we got it. Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network analytics expert. Cynthia, great stuff. Appreciate the time. Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow in that 8.5-hour coverage on Sunday. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm coming to give you a hug tomorrow, so be ready for it.
Absolutely will do. There is Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network analytics expert. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Did he, like, how did I miss that?
You're probably talking over him.
On Sports Radio 810.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. We head up until 2 o'clock, and very excited and pleased to be joined by a man who's got a connection to both of these teams that are in the Super Bowl, former Chiefs head coach, former Eagles head coach, Dick Vermeil, joining us here in the Zone. Dick, how are you, sir?
I'm fine. Thank you for the opportunity to say hello.
Well, we certainly appreciate you joining us. This is an interesting Super Bowl that it is not lacking for storylines and connections, and you being one of them. This is it's amazing how much it feels like these organizations have been connected with different coaches and players and those in the front office and the organization throughout the years. You don't often get that, but these two organizations have been there, and you've worked for both of them. What do you think of this matchup of not even on the field, just the organizations matching up on Sunday?
Well, you know, the two different organizations, both of them obviously very well run, organized, and with great coaching staff, great personnel departments, and now you have to play the game. of course, Andy Reid and the Chiefs have been there a number of times here in recent years, and all that experience is, I think, an advantage. You know, and Nick Sirianni with his organization, and how he's been there before, the general manager of the Eagles. So I think that, if you base it on experience, you've got to say that Andy Reid has an edge. But at the same time, if Nick Sirianni doesn't do the job he did with the great personnel that he has, they wouldn't be there. So it's going to come down to which team makes the big plays in the big game. You know, sometimes you get in there and you just don't get it done.
Dick Vermeil is our guest here on Sports Radio 810 at WHB. And, Jeffrey Lurie, we talked with him at opening night on Monday night. And it was interesting, you know, Dick, hearing him talk about Andy Reid. And he was asked about, you know, being there in Miami in 2019 for that Super Bowl and being able to be present when Andy Reid won his first one. And he started getting choked up. He almost started crying talking about what it meant to him for Andy Reid to finally win one. You're a guy who coached for a while and fell short in the Super Bowl and then finally got to the top of the mountain with the Rams back in 99. What's that feeling like from years and years of grinding and working to get that ultimate goal and Andy Reid finally 4 years ago, he's had a couple of other opportunities and one more, you know, this year of winning it, but finally getting over that hump and winning that Super Bowl?
Well, you know, first off, you learn to realize, having been there and lost, that it takes the same thing to get there and lose as it does to get there and win, so you better appreciate it. You know, and Sunday, both of these teams this year did the same thing to get there. Now, you know, the best team may not even win. It's not a series of best of seven. It's a series of best of one. One bad call, one fumble, one interception, anything like that could cost you the football game and it's over. So I think the first thing is appreciate the fact that you got there and then recognize the opportunity you have and recognize, you may not get another opportunity to be at your best. And if you get enough guys collectively having the best game on the same day, you're going to win it.
Dick Vermeil is our guest, and Andy Reid is known as an offensive guy. You certainly had some pretty good offenses in your day. These are two quarterbacks that kind of go about it differently, and Jalen Hurts offers that running ability and changes sort of the math on the defense when now you do have to worry about the legs of the quarterback, and Patrick Mahomes just seems to be someone that gets it done in different ways. He can run a little bit, but really with his arm. As you see these two quarterbacks, how nice would it have been maybe for you to incorporate their skills in your offenses that you had that were so good and a little bit ahead of the time with spreading the ball out and doing some different things offensively in the NFL before it really became sort of mainstream?
Yeah, well, our offense in 1980 with Ron Jaworski. Ron Jaworski had more ability to play like the game should be played today than we utilized then, because no one was doing then what they do with the ball today. You know, it was a little bit of a different game. If you didn't run the ball 40 times, you were chicken. You know? What do you mean, Clint? You're supposed to knock the heck out of everybody on every snap. No, Ron's numbers would have been far more impressive, and as well as any quarterback that was a Super Bowl quarterback. The numbers would have been better if they were playing in the game today. But so they were good for what they did, great for what they did. And these guys today playing, they have no limitation, really. The only limitation that Patrick might have is his ankle. He may not run like he could normally run, and because he could run. Now he's not a Jalen Hurts. And the worst thing you could do is say that Jalen Hurts can't throw the ball real well, because I've seen him throw the ball as well as anybody can throw it. So it's going to be interesting. It'll come down to those big guys up front, the pass rushers, the pass blockers. Do the pass blockers give the quarterbacks with skill opportunity to be as good as they have the ability to be? Do they give them time to get the ball to the Kelseys, the wide receivers, and the people downfield? And so, you know, the big guys will probably end up determining how this game is played.
Visiting with Dick Vermeil, do you have an emotional pull or a tug at the heart one way or another with these two teams matching up on Sunday?
Well, you know what I'm doing? I love them both. I say this. You know, I went in the Hall of Fame as an Eagle because I lived there. I coached there longer. I felt more like a coach then because I was doing everything myself, running my own offense, calling my own quarterbacks, calling my own plays. So you feel a little bit more into it than you do just the overall leader. But what I'm saying to myself, and I'm saying this honestly, I'm going to root for both teams to win and then feel real bad for the team that loses.
Yeah. It's you know, I mean, when you've got that connection there, I can't imagine, you know, it's sort of like, the parents of the Kelseys, you know, she's wearing a Chiefs and an Eagles jersey. And she was asked on Monday night, what are you going to do during the game? I'm just going to yell when the offense has the ball.
I wish I had the same jersey, the green and red one.
That's right. Yeah, you get a Vermeil on the back.
I saw that picture. Yeah,
that's great. Dick Vermeil is our guest. I don't want Andy Reid to ever retire because I think he's a fantastic coach and what he's done for this organization. But it's going to come a time for everybody. As you look back over your career, I mean, you made the decision multiple times to say, you know what, it's probably enough for me in coaching and let me try something else. What went into those decisions for you as to why it felt like it was the time at the time to do something else in your life and not be that head coach of a particular team or organization?
Well, the first time I left the league in 1982, I was a mess. I just wasn't the coach I thought I ought to be, or was I the coach I had become in coaching the Eagles and taking them to a Super Bowl. I was disintegrating from inside, and I wasn't proud of myself, so I knew I needed a break. I didn't realize I was going to stay out 14 years. I enjoyed the broadcasting. When I went into broadcasting my first year, they doubled my salary from $75,000 a year to $150,000, and I'm working 16 weekends. That's not too bad.
Yeah, that's right.
Not bad. But anyway, I should have listened. I wish, as I don't walk around in expressing regrets or all this kind of stuff. I just move on. But if I had it to do over again, I would listen to the people that were giving me advice that I didn't listen to, and I would have sought a little professional help to help me control my own emotion and intensity and everything else that would have allowed me to stay in coaching. When I left after winning the Super Bowl, you know, I have grandchildren all around me and all that kind of stuff, and I thought, heck, you win the world championship, go home and share family experiences that you wouldn't share if you kept in coaching. Then I left, and I get home and find out they're busy. They don't have a lot of time. Their schedule is different than mine. They got volleyball games, lacrosse games, soccer games. Oh, my God. But anyway, I go back, and I have no regrets in going back. It was a great experience to work for the Chiefs and the Hunt family, now run by Clark Hunt and Carl Peterson, who brought me there. No, I my only regret in my career that I didn't do a good enough job of coaching to hand the Lamar Hunt trophy to Lamar Hunt, one of the finest men I ever met in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you had a couple of good teams. It's just, it's hard, though. I mean, it's just, you know, Chiefs fans, we talked about it in 2019, Dick, as we were at the Super Bowl in Miami, and then even after the Super Bowl, I'm like looking back and seeing different teams the Chiefs had, and it's like, you know, you see what a Super Bowl team looks like when it's right in front of you with the Chiefs winning that Super Bowl against San Francisco, and it's like, yeah, there were some flaws, but man, you just wanted some of those teams to do a little bit better, and that game against the Colts in the divisional round still, you know, sticks with a lot of Chiefs fans of just, man, the opportunity was there and that team was really good.
Oh, yeah, and we're good enough to win it all. It wasn't a good matchup. You know, that's the only playoff game played in the history of the league where neither team won it.
Yeah.
And the American Gonzalez, the winning touchdown call back.
Yep.
You know, those things happen. If he scores on that, we win the game. You know, but that's just the way it is. And like I say this all the time, it's not the best of seven like in the NBA or Major League Baseball. you only get the one opportunity, you know?
Yeah.
And regardless, when it's all said and done, you better appreciate it, regardless of how it goes. It's tough to get there.
Dick Vermeil is our guest. You've lived an amazing life and, you know, been portrayed in different movies. Who do you think did a better job of playing you in a movie, Greg Kinnear or Dennis Quaid?
Well, I appreciated Dennis Quaid using some actual statements that I used in talking to Kurt. That didn't happen in the first movie, for The Invincible. They actually used some statements that I made to Kurt Warner that added credibility and authenticity to the movie presentation.
Interesting. That's an interesting thing to know about those two different movies. Dick Vermeil is our guest. Last one. Do you have a feel for how the game will go? You said that whoever wins, you'll be happy for. Whoever loses, you'll be devastated for. But do you have a feel as to what we may see on Sunday in this game?
Well, my computer says that the Eagles are going to win by 4. You know, the computer only compiles information for 17 games. You have to produce your own information in this game, okay?
Yeah.
What are you going to do well in the Super Bowl? And both teams have almost no limitations. I think the biggest challenge will be to the Chiefs' defense, because the Eagles come into the league with one of the better offenses in the NFL and one of the top three defenses in the NFL. Kansas City can't boast that right now. That doesn't mean they can't play like that Sunday. And I won't be surprised if they do. You know, Steve has done a great job with the defense there, and they have improved all through the season. So it's going to come down to who doesn't make the mistake, who doesn't get the call that goes against them, you know, who doesn't get the pass interference call when it wasn't pass interference, you know, or pass interference when it was pass interference, you know, and all these different kinds of things. One or two plays are going to make the difference.
Yeah, we'll see what ends up happening. Dick Vermeil. Dick, I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Great catching up with you and just one of the many connections here with this game coming up this weekend.
All right. Go Chiefs. Go Eagles. Take care.
Yes, that's right. Go Chiefs. Go Eagles. Dick Vermeil joining us here in the zone. Went to a Super Bowl with the Eagles, fell short, won a Super Bowl with the Rams, and did not get there with the Chiefs. And as he said, one of his biggest regrets is not being able to hand Lamar Hunt the Lamar Hunt trophy when he was the head coach. And we know ultimately it made it back here to Kansas City, but not with Lamar Hunt holding that. But now 3 out of 4, and we'll see what happens coming up this weekend. You know, saying that the team that, you know, who makes the least amount of mistakes, sometimes it typically comes down to that. But I thought it was also interesting who maybe has a call that goes their way one way or another. That can certainly have an impact. We've talked about that before. Doesn't mean that the officials have cost or won a game or the script was there for the NFL, but certainly some plays can, you know, change parts of the game and take it in a different direction, but you can overcome those things as well. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We will continue rolling, hanging out here at Radio Row. Our coverage presented by Blue Note Bourbon, ranked among the very best whiskeys worthy of your attention by Whiskey Advocate. Pick up some Blue Note Bourbon for the big game and all your occasions. More Zone coming up next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Spags was talking about Sneed. Snags was talking about speed.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, hanging out in Phoenix, Radio Row, heading up to Super Bowl 57. Thank you to Dick Vermeil joining us in the previous segment. Joining us now, talking a little NFL football, Aaron Taylor is our guest here, former Notre Dame Irishman, former Green Bay Packer, Super Bowl champion as well. Aaron, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm all of a sudden feel deflated, though, knowing that I'm following Dick Vermeil. Like, talk about setting a guy up for failure. Holy smokes.
He usually sets people up for success, though.
Well, he's man, how do you not like that guy? I was in Canton this year when he got inducted. My best friend from college, Bryant Young, who went in with the 49ers, was there, and just got to see his aura and who he is. And, like, normally they would, like, drop the lights and have the music and, you know, have the cane to pull him off because – Dick likes to talk and do his thing, but he's so dang personable. Yeah. His stories are great. It's just, it's hard to not really like and root for that guy.
Absolutely, and he's got to split allegiance. He ended the interview by saying, go Chiefs, go Eagles.
That's it. That's it.
Sorry, Dick, somebody's got to lose. Somebody's got to win. What do you think of this? Well, you know what? First of all, you're here with Kipman Labs, and so I wanted to get your at least some information on that as to what Kipman Labs is, what they do, and what the importance of they are.
Yeah, thank you for asking that. I think we're all familiar with artificial intelligence, AI, but what we're not so familiar with, but very soon will be, is something called PI, or performance intelligence. So Kipman Labs is a data science and analytical company that uses and aggregates data that teams collect on their players in the strength and conditioning department, in the athletic training room, from the coaches, and they combine that with all the wearable technology and are able to extrapolate things in ways that we just haven't been able to do before. So we've always known that knowledge is power, but data-driven knowledge is predictive power. And that's allowing performance enhancement, health and safety and recovery, and injury elimination in ways we never thought possible. So they're at the forefront of what's an exploding industry. They're with the Jacksonville Jaguars right now, with the Bears so far, 700 teams and organizations worldwide. And it's basically performance enhancement and optimizing what athletes can do on the field by keeping them on the field, with algorithms and spreadsheets versus the illicit substances that some of us like to take when we were playing. So really revolutionary, and it's fun to be a part of it because injuries were certainly a part of my career.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, injuries were a part of your career because a successful one it was and would have continued to be, no doubt about that. And certainly in Kansas City, very familiar with injury, rehab, going through all of that with Patrick Mahomes' ankle, Travis Kelce's back before the Bengals game, not knowing how serious that was. He woke up on Sunday before the game, not knowing if he was going to play. Kelce did because of his back injury.
And I was watching that game, and you watch your first drive, you're like, damn, they in trouble if that's these guys' version of being hurt. Holy smokes. And then you see Mahomes at the end of that game picking up that first down, and Osai got that penalty, which basically made it a makeable field goal and sealed their fate. But, I mean, every one of these games, once you get to the playoff, is a must-win scenario. You're not saving it for when it counts. It does count. So you got to find a way to get yourself out there on the field. And those two and many of the Eagles have found a way to do that as well. It's these are the games that we dream about as kids. We're in the backyard. We're making the great catch and the diving, you know, this and that and the tackle. Like, we fantasize about being a world champion, and that's why I wear this ring when I'm down here. I did my 156 and put my little crumbs in, and Kansas City and the Eagles, they have a chance to join the club.
Aaron Taylor is our guest, CBS Sports Network with Kipman Labs as well. And, you know, as a former offensive lineman, these are two really good offensive lines that are going up against each other. Do you enjoy watching games where – both the offensive lines are as good as the Eagles and Chiefs are? Or is there an area of enjoyment of watching, let's say, the Bengals try to figure out how to get around an offensive line that's sort of makeshift, or another team that's sort of figuring out how do we game plan against this or that if we've got a weakness here, as opposed to two strong offensive lines this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, you can appreciate a Maserati or a 4x4 mud truck. They both do the job, but I'm a guy that appreciates good offensive line play because I know just how hard and unique and special that is to have. You look at Kansas City, I think they were top three in the league in terms of sacks allowed. Now you got a pretty dang mobile quarterback. Mm-hmm. They get the football out fast. That certainly helps them. But the Philadelphia Eagles are among the best teams in the league of running inside the tackles. Now they'll be going against Chris Jones, and we know what a disruptive force he is for Kansas City. But when they get in the red zone, you look at what they've done in the playoffs. I mean, it's almost 2-1 run to pass in the NFL. That's unheard of. They're elite in the intermediate passing game, and that's all because of what happens up front. And I've never been on a team that's won a championship or been associated with any team that was worth a damn that didn't have good offensive line play, and that wasn't one of the meeting rooms and position groups that led the team. And that is the case for both of these teams on Sunday, and it's going to be fun to watch. Howard Mudd was the great offensive line coach that we lost recently. He was notorious for saying, you know, my guys needed to have toughness, and that was about how much pain and punishment we could dish out. But our guys also had to have resilience. That was how much pain and punishment you can withstand. He said, my guys needed to have both. So what I'm looking at on this game on Sunday is which one of those groups is going to rise to the occasion when it matters most against a formidable defensive line for both of them that they're going against. Offensive line play is going to lead the charge on Sunday, and it's going to be really fun to watch that unfold.
As a former offensive lineman, that probably feels pretty good.
No doubt.
A lot of talk about the offensive line coming up this weekend. Do you have a feel for the game as to who wins or a score yet that you've come up with? You got a few more days to get there before having to pick, but it seems like it's split. There's a I can't go against Patrick Mahomes, or I feel like the Eagles are the better team, so I'll go with that. Do you have a feel for it?
I don't. I think I'm probably like a lot of people. I think the line at 1.5 is there for good reason. I was part of a Super Bowl that was the biggest spread at that time, 14 points with us in Denver, and we lost Super Bowl 32. This, as I understand, it's one of the closest spreads and for good reason. The end of the day, football is still a game of blocking and tackling, and because of that, I like the Philadelphia Eagles in their internal run game between the tackles. As good as Chris Jones is, as good as that defense has been, they've been susceptible between the tackles. They've been susceptible in the run game, which is something the Eagles do really well in the red zone against. So those are the things in the situational football that I think matter. And I just think Jalen Hurts, even though he's been hurt, this is his moment. And it's hard to pick against a Patrick Mahomes because you watch this gutsy performance that he's had. But again, the blocking and tackling portion, I'm going to go with running game and defense. And if you can get to the quarterback with your front four and don't have to blitz and can play coverage and tackle guys, they can't allow them to catch and run. That's what Kansas City's been killing people with, is all these underneath passes on those short, shallow crosses, and they catch and run for big gains. If they can keep that in check, I think Philly can basically play keep away and walk out victorious.
Aaron Taylor, our guest. Aaron, thank you for the time, man. Very much appreciate it, sir. Enjoy the game and hanging out here at Radio Row. We always appreciate talking to you down
always
here.
Always a pleasure to be here. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. There is Aaron Taylor joining us, and Kitman Labs he is with as well, with that beautiful Super Bowl ring, and the Chiefs trying to get these Chiefs players, a number of them trying to get Super Bowl ring number two, and a lot of them trying to get Super Bowl ring number one, just as the Eagles players are as well. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling. We'll talk with Mike Golic coming up at the top of the noon hour. We're going to hang out with Kurt Warner in the noon hour as well. Kenny Main will join us. Mick Schaefer at some point in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll do that. We continue rolling. We are hanging out here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We are in Phoenix. It's Super Bowl 57. Our coverage continues right after this.